Again, I, of course, all of us are very, very concerned, not only about our personal security, but basically for Eretz Yisrael and for Am Yisrael, and as well as thinking about the people in Chutz Laretz who are still suffering the aftermath of the storm. So it is a Zman where there's much turbulence in the world. Many, many different things are happening. Some of the experiences do not appear to be immediately positive in the short run. But these are all things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us to make us more aware of our need to turn to Him with tefillah, with tshuva, with tzedakah, with chesed, with avas Yisrael. And in that way, you know, the Gemara says by Haman that when Haman wanted to wipe out the Jewish people and Achashverosh took off his signet ring and he gave it to Haman, giving Haman that power. So the Gemara says, Gadol Hasaras Hatabas, the removal of the ring did more good for the Jewish people than 48 male prophets and 7 female prophetesses. Because all of the Nevi'im say over and over and over again, do tshuva, do tshuva, do tshuva, and nothing happens. But what happened with that fear of Haman's Gezerah is that all of Am Yisrael came together with unity and with love, and they reaccepted the Torah and they turned to Hashem. So sometimes that's the way it is. Sometimes we do need at least the fear of things to bring us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And B'ezras Hashem, it should be a catalyst for that. And in that way, we will have Rachamei Shemayim, and we will be Zaycha to a Yeshua. It's very interesting. There are no accidents that, in fact, the part of the Chovos HaLevavos that we are learning, at least B'kitzer, is the Shar HaBitachon, the gate of trust in Hashem. And the Chovos HaLevavos again explains, Emunah is the theoretical belief in God. Bitachon is the sense of tranquility and serenity. When you know that you're in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who loves you and cares about you. A person can have bitachon, emunah rather, in the mental sense, I know about it, but bitachon is what you feel in your heart. And again, bitachon is serenity, trust, and confidence in a Gamzu L'Tovah. Again, we have to be realistic, we have to be adults. As the Chazon Ish says, Gamzu L'Tovah doesn't always mean everything in the short term is going to be a happy ending. There have been tragedies in Am Yisrael, there will continue to be tragedies in Am Yisrael. But the thing to remember is Hashem never abandons us, that even in the difficulties in life, there is the redemption, there is the goodness, there is the kindness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always here. There's a very big difference. You know, I'm sure you've heard this many, many times. When somebody asked the Panovitcher Rav about tefillah, Farvus er enfert nisht, why does Hashem not answer? And the Panovitcher Rav says, er enfert nisht, he answers no. It's the same words with a different comma. And that is not just semantics. There is all the difference in the world between an attitude that Hashem doesn't care about us versus Hashem loves and cares about us and at various times decides what is best for us in ways that we don't always understand, like a parent. Okay? It is not abandonment, it is not indifference. Even the word Hester Panim is a wonderful, wonderful word to keep in mind. Hester Panim doesn't mean God is not there. It means His face is hidden. We don't see Him there, but He's always there. Okay, and that's something that we have to remember in times of tzara. I'm sure all of you heard the alarm Friday night in which bombs are getting a little closer. But whatever, whether they're here or somewhere else. I mean, if they're anywhere, there's a reason to be Ma'ariv Rachamim, because it's not just for us, it's for Am Yisrael as a whole. So here, Shar Bitachon, I think, is especially a good thing to look at and think about, because during these times of Tzara is when, that's when we need Bitachon. You know, the Velt says, there's an old saying, when you have $100,000 in the bank, it's easy to be a Baal Bitachon. Although today, $100,000 might not do it. I realize it has to be adjusted for inflation, but that's what they used to say. But the sign of a Baal Bitachon is when you don't have, huh?
Just add 1 0.
Yeah, right. Okay. Beseder. But that's not really Bitachon. That's almost fake Bitachon. When I have everything I want, oh, I'm a Bitachon. Right. The test of Bitachon is when things don't seem to go our way, and there are difficulties, but I'm still makir e gam zula tova. You know, and it's interesting too. They say the Brisker Rav, and I think I've mentioned this story before. The Brisker Rav, Rav Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik, who spent some of the war years in the Warsaw Ghetto and then was smuggled out miraculously and came to Eretz Yisrael, was very, very medakdek in mitzvahs, and to the point that if you were a superficial observer, you might even call it obsessive. But again, it was not obsessive. It came from his great Yiras Shamayim. And he was always worried. Did he say Shema properly? You know, did he make Havdalah properly? Did he bake matzah properly? Worried. He was always worried. In the middle of the Warsaw Ghetto, in which people were dying right and left, people were dying of starvation, Nazis were indiscriminately murdering people, he was very calm, unusually calm. But he seemed to go around his avoda without any worry in the world. And somebody had the chutzpah to ask him, you know, Rebbe, you know, you're so nervous all the time, and now you have a reason to be nervous. Why aren't you nervous? Why are you so calm in the middle of the Warsaw Ghetto? So he said the following. He says, when it comes to mitzvos, Hashem gave me the responsibility to doing mitzvahs properly. This is what Chazal say. Hakol bidei shamayim. Everything that happens to you, rich, poor, healthy, sick, b'derech klal, is Hashem decrees. But yiras shamayim, the decision of how you're going to serve Him, that's up to you. That is bechira. So the Brisker Rav says, anything that's up to me, I'm a nervous wreck. Because when it's up to me, I know I'm, you know, he said, according to his modesty, that you know, I can mess up, I can do it wrong, I'm not sure if I did it right. But what if you're in a matzav where there's really nothing you can do at all? You're helpless. So some of us would be terrified. He says, no, when it's not up to me, I know it's Hashem running it. When Hashem runs it, what am I afraid of? Things will gamzu l'tova, whatever that means. So he says, I'm only nervous for things that are within my control. Things that are not within the ambit of my control, he says, there's nothing to be nervous about because Hashem is running that particular part of the universe. And keep in mind, the Brisker Rav actually lost his family, lost his wife at least, and some of his children in the Holocaust. And still, his emunah and bitachon was such that he understood that, as tragic as this is, he understood that there must be a gamzu l'tova in terms of why Hashem is bringing this. Yeah. There is no question that a person always has to worry that maybe they're not worthy, and on that you're masakin yourself by tshuva and by masim, and by masim tovim. Let me put it this way. That's why I said bitachon does not mean things will turn out exactly the way I want it, but it means that it will turn out ultimately for my good or for our good, and Hashem loves us and has not abandoned us, and therefore one should not worry. In other words, one might worry that they are not good enough, so to speak, but don't worry about the ultimate concern that the Almighty has. It's a very, very difficult parsha. Now, the Chavos HaLevavos has a shita that says, and it's not everybody agrees, we'll talk about it, that there is nothing that can happen to you in the world whatsoever unless Hashem decreed it. If a person dies in a tsunami or an earthquake, and again, this is a big contradiction, because on one hand, let's say, God forbid, somebody murders somebody. Now, the murderer, it was not predetermined that he would murder, because that would be a contradiction to the principle of free will. And when it comes to doing an aveira, or doing a mitzvah, Hashem does not decree that people do aveiras. The Rambam makes the argument, because if Hashem were to decree that you're going to do an aveira, then He couldn't punish you for that aveira because you were forced into it. And if Hashem decreed you will do a mitzvah, you couldn't be rewarded for the mitzvah because you're just like a computer that just does things automatically. So the Rambam argues, implicit in the concept of reward and punishment, whether it's in this world or the world to come, is free will. And the Rambam totally rejects the concept of predestination. You know, the Rambam is actually writing because there were Islamic philosophers of the time who said if God runs everything, then God determines when and where you're going to pull the trigger or the knife, whatever the technology was. The Rambam rejects that. That is the Yesod HaDvorim of Bechira Chafshis. So on one level, Bechira is fundamental to Judaism, which is an amazing thought, because what it basically says is there cannot be true good unless there's a capacity to choose evil. In other words, if goodness would simply be something that I automatically do, there would be no virtue in it. Just like when your computer works, although computers seem to have a life of their own sometimes. But generally speaking, we don't call the computer righteous or virtuous or evil, even though we sometimes I understand. It either works or doesn't work. Virtue, righteousness, and evil are connected to choices that people make. So in many, many ways, the capacity for evil is necessary in order for goodness to be true goodness. Right? That's an important idea. On the other hand, we have Bechira. On the other hand, we have the idea that nothing happens to me unless it was God's will that it happens. So here, we have a real contradiction here. A guy goes to a 7-Eleven, using U.S. analogy, at 2 o'clock in the morning. He gets robbed, and he gets shot. Now, on one end, we say, and he's dead. He dies. Yeah, he dies, unfortunately. On one end, we say, no one dies in the world unless it was God's will that he died. Now, again, keep in mind, I'm not suggesting necessarily that he died because of his sins. That's a whole other thing. Maybe he died because it was his natural time. Maybe he died because Hashem wanted in him olam haba. Maybe, in other words, I'm not at all dealing with the issue of blaming the victim. The word is not blaming. A person might die for a million reasons. Maybe he's a kapara for the generation. Okay, so when we talk about the 6 million Jews who died in the Holocaust, we're not suggesting they died because of their sins. That's not the point I'm making. But I'm making a point that according to the Chavos HaLevavos, nobody dies for whatever reason. And there may be a million reasons. Tzadikim die as kapara. But nobody dies unless Hashem decreed. On the other hand, the murderer exercised his choice, which means he could have decided not to. Whether it's the guy who shoots the gun in the 7-Eleven, or whether it's Hitler or the Nazis, they had Bechira not to do this. But one second, if they would have exercised the Bechira not to do it, then the Jews wouldn't have been killed. Right? Yeah. So the Chavos HaLevavos Shita is a very remarkable Shita. He says they would have died some other way. Meaning to say, had it not been the Ratzon Hashem that they die, nobody would die. This is the Chavos HaLevavos Shita. Hashem doesn't make the Rasha do it. The Rasha does it through his Bechira, and because it's his Bechira, he will be punished for it, because God didn't make him do it. But nobody can harm you unless and until it is the Ratzon Hashem. This is the Chavos HaLevavos Shita. Not everybody's Shita.
Right. So the Rambam and the Maharal say that there is nature that moves along in its own path.
Yeah.
So that if someone is caught by nature,
yeah,
a tsunami or the floods that have been, is not the individual sin that caused it, but this is part of nature going in, and sometimes people are caught up.
This is a very, very big and fundamental machlokes regarding the nature of what is called hashkacha pratis. Hashkacha pratis is the individual divine providence in which God determines what happens to each individual person. The Chavos HaLevavos in Shaar HaBitachon takes a very extreme position, and the position that can give us a lot of comfort perhaps in times of difficulty, in which nothing happens in your life, nothing, unless Hashem has made a direct decision that this should happen to you. Now, sometimes that may be an onus. It doesn't mean necessarily it'll be sweetness and light, But Hashem is dealing with you as an individual at all times. There is no sickness unless Hashem decrees it. There is no death unless Hashem decrees it. Again, I want to emphasize, I'm not necessarily saying it's because of punishment. There could be a million reasons. Tzaddikim can suffer as kapara, but it's always Hashem making a direct intervention. You cannot be insulted or hurt psychologically unless Hashem wanted you to have that psychological hurt. Again, the Chovas HaLevavos quotes the story of Shimi ben Gera. Shimi ben Gera was a relative of Shaul. When David is running away from Avshalom, his own son, Shimi ben Gera throws stones at David and mocks David and says, now you're getting punished for what you did to my relative when you took over as king, although David always befriended Shaul, but still. And Yoav ben Tzruya, David's general, wanted to finish Shimi ben Gera off because he's a Morid b'Malchus. And David HaMelech said, if Hashem did not want me to be cursed and suffer this humiliation, it wouldn't have happened to me. Now, of course, that is a very strange story, because right after he says, if it's the Ratzon Hashem that I be cursed, I accept it. A few years later, he's on his deathbed, and his final instructions are, get this guy! You know, but again, the Mefarshim explained that there is a way of
If he would have gotten him at the direct time, then it wouldn't seem that he was being convicted.
That's right. In other words, right. That's right. I mean, the concept of killing Shimi ben Gera is not a violation of this, because it goes back to the fact that even if David needed to get that curse, Shimi had Bechira, and because of his Bechira, he'll get punished, just like you try the Nazis, you know, or whatever, or Pyro. But David didn't want to do it, as you say, B'shas Maisa, because David wanted to underscore for himself that I am Makabel, what Hashem wants me to suffer as a kapara for Batsheva or whatever. So the Chovas HaLevavos creates a very complicated system of reality in which the perpetrators of evil are doing it on their own, but the recipients of evil are getting it only because of divine hashkacha. And in the absence of that divine hashkacha, it wouldn't have happened. In other words, somebody else would walk into the store who was supposed to die, not whatever it is. But the amazing thing is, the Chovas HaLevavos is saying, don't think, the Chovas HaLevavos, again, there'll be other views, don't think that Hitler was why 6 million Jews died. Hitler and the Nazis, through their Bechira, committed unspeakable evil, for which God will punish them. But if it wouldn't have been a gezeira, for whatever reason, again, this is not blaming the victim, that's not what this is going. For whatever reason, the Eibishter decreed a korban. The korban could have come through earthquakes, through tsunamis, through whatever could have happened. The Chovas HaLevavos says, this is a very extreme shita, there is no one in the world that can harm you, physically, financially, or psychologically, unless it is the gezeira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that for whatever reason this happened to you. And therefore, the only one that I have to fear and revere and pray to and hope to is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he is the source of the din, and he is the source of the refuah. He is the source of the makkah. He will be the source of the geula. There is no human, this is the Chovas HaLevavos Sheet and Shar B'Tachon, there is no human being that has any power over you whatsoever. Yeah.
I wanted to ask where tshuva comes into this.
So tshuva is, of course, very relevant, because tshuva determines how Hashem decrees on us. Meaning, Hashem makes decrees, but the decrees are certainly affected by our tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah. Like the Chovas HaLevavos, the point is, no human being can hurt me. It's only Hashem's gezeros that can affect me. And that, in turn, gets modified and changed and redirected by the process of tshuva. You also, I'm sorry, yeah.
Yeah, the message that no one can hurt you is the message that Baal Shem Tov got from his father in his tzava'a.
Yes, yes.
He told him when he was 5 years old, don't be afraid of anyone except for Shem. This was, and it was the second part, I don't remember.
Yeah.
And that is when he took with him and became the Baal Shem
Tov. Right, right. He used to go out, he used to take care of the kid. Yeah. Well, the Hasidim generally very much adopted this hashkaf of the Chovas HaLevavos, that there is nothing you cannot hurt a person without a gzeirat Hashem. Now I'm going to give you other shittas. In a way, I sometimes feel a little bad giving you other shittas, because in a way this is a shita that can give a person a lot of chizuk in life. But the Rishonim did have debates. I just want to mention the Baal HaTanya. The Baal HaTanya says, this is the meaning of the statement in Chazal, that when a person is angry, kol ha-koes, when you're angry, it's as if you are worshipping other gods. What is the connection between anger and worship of other gods? So the Baal HaTanya says the following. A person is angry because he says, what has happened to me shouldn't happen. Meaning, I don't like the fact that I'm being insulted, or I didn't get that job, or I didn't get that money. I'm angry. Now, Zuck the Baal HaTanya, who are you angry at?
Yeah.
You can't be angry at the person who didn't hire you, because if you wouldn't get the job, it was Hashem's gezeirah. That person couldn't hurt you. So it must either be you don't believe that God runs the show, or you're angry at God. So either way, it's a getter of avodah zarah. You're either rejecting God or not believing in God. Because if you believe nobody can hurt me without a gezeirah of Hashem, then that person will get punished for his decisions, but in a way it's almost not relevant to you, because what happened to you would happen anyway. This is the sheet of the Chai V'Salavas. Nothing can happen to you that's not b'gezeira. This is a very extreme, we'll call it, view of how detailed the Hashgacha Pratis HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. Again, sometimes good, sometimes bad, although ultimately Gamzu L'Tova. You can change it by tshuva, tefillah, and staka, but that person has no shlita over me at all. Now that is the Chai V'Salavas. I'm sorry, question? Yeah. Yeah.
The lady who came here from India, because it was before your side of the war that was killed there, and she was in a building where Hassan came, and she was killed.
She had to die in Israel.
Well, you know, once again, the Chai V'Salavas is not explaining why Hashem makes these decrees. That's really a mystery. He's just explaining everything comes from Hashem. There is no autonomy in the ability to harm another person. Yeah.
So Rabbi Berkovitz, one of his explanations about the Shalash, he says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Meshachrer Koach Mashchit Ba'olam, if you happen to be in the wrong place,
if you
were in Germany or in Europe during World War II, when you weren't in Australia or in Yerushalayim, then you just get caught up in it.
Okay, that's a different sheet. I'll mention that is a different sheet.
Yeah.
Okay, again, I'm trying to illustrate, at least on a relatively simple level, that there's a very, very fundamental machlokas about how we understand Hashgachah Pratis. The Chai V'Salavas would disagree with that. The Chai V'Salavas says Hashem wanted you to be there, and therefore. Now, there is a different shita. There is another shita. Yeah.
Where does the Sitra Achra come into this? I hear people say this is the Tzol Hashem, and they decide something else is the Sitra Achra.
According to, well, Sitra Achra is a Kabbalistic term. Chai V'Salavas does not use the term. But I think the Chai V'Salavas would only use Sitra Achra on the issues of Bechira. In other words, when I decide to do something or not something, so sometimes the Sitra Achra may make me believe that something is good when in fact it's bad, and that's simply the struggle I have with my Yetzer Hara. So for example, Neturei Karta would say that Zionism and Hakamat HaMedina was an idea that came into our heads through the Sitra Achra. So that goes in the realm of Bechira, but in terms of what happens to you, everything is a Gezeirah of Hashem. There's no Sitra Achra.
Happens to you personally, or what happens in the world?
Either one. Happens in the world. Well, the Hashgacha Pratis may not apply to Umos HaOlam, but what happens to a Jewish person is a gezeira. Now let me mention to you an amazing Or HaChaim. The Or HaChaim is Rav Chaim Ben Attar, who lived around 250 years ago. He came from Morocco and he came to Eretz Yisrael, and he is buried on Har HaZeitim, and people go. It's even today, where it's not so safe, on his yard site in Elul, many, many people go, and his commentary on Chumash is very mefursam. It is said that the Baal Shem Tov wanted to come to Eretz Yisrael to be with the Or HaChaim, and it was thought that if they would be here together at the same time, they could bring Mashiach. So very, very holy. We call him Or HaChaim HaKadosh. And he says the following idea by Yosef. The brothers wanted to kill Yosef, and Reuven comes along and says, you know, why should we be guilty of killing him? Let us throw him into the pit. And Reuven's machshava was that he would come back later and get Yosef. That's what the Chumash says. But here's a big problem. The Pasuk says, Habor Reik, the pit was empty. Ein bo mayim, it didn't have water. So Chazal asked the question, if it was empty, of course it didn't have water, it's redundant. The answer is, it didn't have water, but it had snakes and scorpions. And Yosef was thrown into a pit that had snakes and scorpions. Now the halacha is, if a person falls into a pit that has scorpions at least, his wife is allowed to remarry even without testimony that he's dead, because he's considered to be a goner. So what's Reuven's cheshbon? We don't want to be guilty of killing an innocent person. Let's throw him into a pit of scorpions. Now, you might say, well, maybe Reuven didn't know. That's possible. You could answer, Reuven just didn't know what was there. There was a great nace. Reuven didn't know it. But the Or HaChaim wants to learn that Reuven actually knew that the pit was filled with scorpions. And he still says, better scorpions than the brothers. What's the cheshbon? The brothers had a lumdus that Yosef was chayev misa. The brothers actually felt Yosef deserved to die, because they saw the pattern of good son, bad son, Yitzchak, Yishmael gets sent away, B'nai Keturah gets sent away, the heritage of Avraham goes to Yitzchak, and similarly with Yaakov and Esav, Yaakov gets the brachos of Eretz Yisrael, one way or the other, and Esav goes to Mount Seir, and he's no longer part of the Jewish people. And they see a similar phenomenon repeating itself with Yosef coming to Yaakov and bringing Lashon Hara, that the brothers are doing this sin and that sin. And they thought that the end of this story is going to be, we're going to be the Yishmael and the Esav part of the family. We're going to be separated, and the whole heritage of Ruchnius and Kedusha is going to go to Yosef. So the Sephorno writes, they thought Yosef halachically had the din of Rodef. The same way, if somebody's trying to kill you, you can kill them. They really thought Yosef was destroying the eternity of their mission and connection as a nation of God. So they convened a Beis Din, the Sephorno says. And they sentenced Yosef to death as a Rodef. Halachically, it's problematical because, I mean, that's like saying, let's say somebody is trying to take me away from Yiddishkeit, which is an awful thing. Halachically, I wouldn't be allowed to kill them, but b'chari, that's what they're doing. Now, here's what the Or HaChaim says, based on this Sephorno. Reuven says, you know, maybe we're right and maybe we're wrong. Maybe he deserves to die and maybe he doesn't deserve to die. But how do we know that we're acting out of disinterested objective criteria? Or maybe we're acting out of jealousy and envy? So let's throw him to the scorpions. Now this is what the Or HaChaim says. Now don't try this at home because it's a dangerous hanhaga. The Or HaChaim says, since a Baal Chai has no Bechira, an animal cannot hurt you unless it was the decree of God that the animal have this koach. But a human being, this is exactly the opposite of the Chavis HaLavis, a human being is a Baal Bechira. And if Hashem made the world where human beings have the power of evil, then implicit in that is they have the power to perpetrate rishus even against the person upon whom there was no divine decree, because that is the fallout, that is the detritus, that is kind of the consequence of Bechira. And therefore, Reuven says the following, if we kill Yosef, that's not a proof that that was the Ratzon Hashem. If the scorpion kills Yosef, that's a proof that it's the Ratzon Hashem. And this is actually the meaning of what we say in Tachanun. David HaMelech says, Nipla na biyad Hashem ki rabim rachamav. Let me fall in the hands of God, because God's mercy is great. Uviyad adam ale pola. Let me not fall within the hands of man. Like the Chayvus HaLevavos, that almost doesn't make sense. Because whether you're in the hands of man or the hands of God, you're only in the hands of God. What's wrong? What if God wants us, right? But the Aruch Hayim says, in Bechira, a person can be hurt, even if it's not the Ratzon Hashem. Now, of course, you have the problem of Shimi ben Gera. Now, let me point out, even the Aruch Hayim is Moda, that through tefillah, tshuva, tzedakah, it's possible that a person, Hashem, may intervene to save the person. Everyone admits to that. But the Aruch Hayim says, the concept that if something happened negatively, Hashem made a direct decree on the person who's suffering, the Aruch Hayim says, in the case of Bechira, at least, that's not true. So that's an amazing chiddush, so to speak, which is not what most Hasidus believes. It's not the Chovas HaLevavos, and it's not the Shita of Kabbalah, which is pretty strange, because the Aruch Hayim was a very, very great Mekubal. But this is the Shita of the Aruch Hayim, that a Baal Bechira has a koach, as it were, to override a Gezeirah of Hashem, because that is the ultimate Ratzon of Hashem, that the world function through Bechira. And in a way, Hashem has tied his hands to enable the world to function through Bechira, although Hashem could always intervene. But Hashem often lets Bechira be sholeit in the world. This is what the Aruch Hayim says. Now, this would not explain, but this, I don't want to use the word explain for anything, because nothing is ever an explanation. But in many, many ways, this illustrates the proposition that people have often remarked, that people ask about Auschwitz, the Holocaust, where was God?
Yeah.
But maybe the real question is, where is man? Because if anything, God's ways are mysterious, to be sure. But the real lesson of the Holocaust is how low a human being can sink, and actually how great you could also rise to the occasion in terms of holiness and sanctity. Because in a world of Bechira, Hashem will allow awful things to happen, not because it's Hashem's direct will, the Aruch Hayim would say, that those bad things happen, but it's Hashem's direct will that human beings have free will. And the free will to do good carries with it the free will to do the most awful thing. So that's one machlokus. Now, according to that, though, the Aruch Hayim is arguing with the Chovas HaLevavos in one detail, but he's agreeing with him on another detail. That's why I'm going to bring the Rambam, which is the third Shita. Because the Aruch Hayim would differentiate between evils perpetrated by man versus evils that you might say are natural. No, actually, insurance companies call them acts of God, whether it's hurricanes, tsunamis, and the like. And there the Aruch Hayim would say, if a person dies because so-and-so murdered him, that's Bechira. But if a person dies because of a tsunami, that's a Gezeirah of Hashem. But here we have a Shita of the Rambam, where the Rambam goes even further. And that's what Rabbi Berkowitz said. Rabbi Elazar Berkowitz, I'm assuming you're talking about, right? That the Rambam says the following. The Rambam says that we apply this logic not only to the context of Bechira, but even to natural phenomena in general. Meaning to say the following. Hashem created a world that has laws of nature that govern. And Hashem, of course, is the architect of those laws of nature. And Hashem can change those laws of nature at any time, as he does with Kriyas Yamsuf and the like. But the normal Hanhagas HaBore is that the world operates according to set and regular patterns. We have gravity. Now, Hashem could be geyser. When I throw a ball down, it'll go up. But most of the time, in fact, as far as we know, in our lifetimes, we're probably not going to see, you know, at least unless you're in outer space, we're not going to see the opposite of gravity. Most of the time, gravity works. Whatever, right? I mean, that's why you take a plane or drive or walk even. You know, you're semech on the regularity of the laws of nature. Now, in the laws of nature, there are going to be phenomena that happen with some regularity as part of their pattern. Whether it's a tsunami or an earthquake or a storm, these are things that happen. So the Shita Sarambam is that we don't necessarily say on every one of those things there was a particular gezeira. You might happen to be in a place where according to the Chukei HaTeva, these different things happen. Now, I want to emphasize, even according to the Rambam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can certainly intervene to be matzil you. That's why we daven. That's why we do tshuva. That's why we give tzedakah. The issue is not that God is not involved, chas v'shalom, but rather, sometimes there's a concept that Hashem lets the forces of nature affect you, and you need special siyata dishmaya to be taken out of that. As opposed to the chayvus alavavus that says Hashem was geizer that the person die, according to the Rambam's understanding, sometimes there was no gezeira that a person dies, but he didn't have the special zechus to immunize him from the concept of teva. Right? So there are different shitas in how to understand the Hashgacha Pratis, ranging from the Chayvus Alavavas to the Orach Chaim, to the Rambam. But again, I don't want to lose the forest because of the trees. According to all views, even if you say there's kind of a default setting of teva that can affect a person, wrong place, wrong time, HaKol Moedim, that Hashem can intervene at any point to be matzil us, and that is why we daven. I mean, in other words, the Rambam Chas V'Shalom is not saying Hashem abandoned us to teva, but he means you need a special zechus. And in fact, that is exactly why. Say again?
The Nefesh HaChaim says.
Right.
That's right.
But as I say, it's not, in other words, according to the Rambam, it's not an automatic thing, meaning it's not that Hashem made a special gezeira on me. There is a concept of teva, and people are affected by teva, and you need a special zechus. But it's not the automatic setting, as opposed to the Chayvus Alavavus, who says everything that happens to me is because Hashem looked at me and Hashem decided this is what's going to happen to you today. Right? The Rambam would say that's not necessarily the way Hashgacha works. Yeah.
Well, according to the Chayvus Alavavus, are you still mechuyav to do anything lishmort nafshecha?
Yes. So he. He raises the question. The answer is not so clear. He says, well, so why am I chayav to not cross against a red light?
Yeah.
I'll either get killed or I won't get killed. And if I don't cross and I'm supposed to die, it's going to happen anyway.
Yeah.
So he says, in a strange way, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gezeiros, just like, for example, the way Hashem is noeg depends on your mitzvos and the like, right? The more mitzvos, the more rachamim, at least on some level. So he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gezeiros themselves are contingent on your behaving in a certain way. Meaning, it's not that it's just going to be teva, but there's a certain contingency in Hashem's gezeiros. So this is a very, Hashgacha Pratis is a very, very complicated issue. I can't give you a halacha lemaisa on it, Pashut. After Me'ev Yesrim Shana, we can ask Hashem about how exactly it works. But as I say, the bottom line is that in a way, this does not make a practical difference in our lives, because we still have to be makir that through spiritual means we can always have Hashem come to us and help us. Now let me just mention just a few things from the Chavos Halevavos, just to be aware of. The Chavos Halevavos actually mentions a number of factors that a Baal Bitachon should try to internalize in their personalities. Things to think about, things to put into your consciousness. He says, number one, to understand that Hashem has more rachamim and love for us than anyone else. In fact, the Baal Shem Tov used to say that the love that Hashem has for the greatest, worst Russia is so many infinitely greater than the love we might have for the greatest tzaddik. No, so to understand Hashem's rachamim for us, his love for us. Number two, to understand that Hashem knows what is most beneficial for us. See, these are two different things. You can love somebody tremendously, but you don't necessarily know what's good for him. Right? So you think, you're giving something that's good, it may not be good. Right, so Hashem not only has the love, but Hashem has the knowledge of what is most beneficial. And number three, Hashem has the power. So these are kind of the three criteria to have bitachon in anybody. The person has my best interests in mind because of his love for me. Number two, the person has knowledge of what is good for me. And number three, the person has the power. Let's say it's a person. The person has the power to make it happen. So it's love, knowledge, power is kind of the trilogy that have to come together in order for you to have bitachon even in another human being. And of course the Chavos HaLevavos points out there is no human being that has all those three criteria in the perfection that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has and the like. Now the Chavos HaLevavos then makes another point about Hashgacha, that although his view of Hashgacha is very, very extreme, everything that happens to you is based on Hashem, but he points out sometimes the Hashgacha is open and clear and obvious, and sometimes it comes through the masquerade of nature, which is seen as a masveh, as a veil, and sometimes it comes without a lot of hishtadlut on your part, and sometimes you seem to have to work very, very hard to get the parnasa that Hashem has decreed for you, but he decreed it only through X amount of hishtadlus. And by the way, the Chavos HaLevavos says, although I don't know what you do, I don't know what you do with this bit of knowledge. He says like this, he says, Hashem decrees parnasa, but for many people, I'll describe why, it's only after X amount of hishtadlus. But the Chavos HaLevavos says, if you do more than X, you will not get a cent more. You will only get what is allowed to if you do X. But X plus one, or X times Y, or X times two X, will get you nothing. Now, that's a wonderful hashkafa. The problem is we don't know what the X is.
Yeah. that's continue to aspire to reach higher goals.
Now, but the Chavos HaLevavos says, when it comes to parnasa, yeah, even if Hashem decreed that your allotted parnasa requires a certain amount of ishtadlus, you will not increase it. Yeah. Now, I'll give you an example. I had somewhat of this experience, a little bit. There was a time when I was living in Maryland, where I thought I was giving more tzedakah than I should in a given month. So I cut down a little bit. And then my car broke down and my refrigerator broke down. So my initial thought was, wow, I made the right decision because now I have money for my car and for my refrigerator. But then upon further reflection, I realized, the concept was that money was not supposed to be for my personal use. And the Eibusher gave me two choices. You either give it to tzedakah, and if you decide not to give it to tzedakah, you're going to lose it anyway. Yeah. Meaning you're not going to come out ahead by making these types of adjustments. But the Chavos HaLevavos gives us the following key. He doesn't tell us what X is, and that's that is really the $64,000 or $64 million question. What is my ishtadlus in life? He does make the point, beyond that ishtadlus, you're not going to come out ahead. Okay, but he makes the following point. He says, the stronger your belief in Hashgacha Pratis, the stronger your internalization of Hashem running the show, the less Hishtadlus Hashem is going to put upon you. You're going to find the gates of Hashgacha more open and more obvious. And the less Emuna or Bitachon you have in Hashem, so in a way, it becomes a self-fulfilling negative or positive prophecy. The stronger my belief in Hashgacha, the more Hashgacha will be evident to me. The less I believe, the less I'll experience. Of course, that means you'll believe less, etc. And you go kind of into a spiral. And this is really seen from a Gemara. There's an interesting Gemara. Famous Machlokes, Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. These are great Tanoim. It says in Kriya Shema that if you keep the mitzvos, you will gather your grain. Basavta deganecha. Rabbi Yishmael says, from here we learn out, you're supposed to get a job. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that you're allowed to be osek in parnasa. That's what Hashem says. If you keep the mitzvos, you will gather your grain. Meaning even though you're supposed to learn Torah, but Hashem says, make a living. Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, make a living? Get a job? What a ridiculous idea, he says. A person is going to plow when it's time to plow, and plant when it's time to plant, and harvest when it's time to harvest. When will he learn? When will he serve Hashem? So he makes the remarkable statement that if a Yid would truly do the will of Hashem and devote himself only to Torah and mitzvahs, Hashem would give him his parnasa without any work on his part. Somehow it would come. Now, the truth of the matter is, he knows of what he speaks because he himself experienced this. The Gemara tells us that at some point he was running away from the Romans. They wanted to kill him. And he was in a cave for 12 years. And during those 12 years, he says, the ravens brought him meat and there were springs of water right next to him and trees of fruits. And basically, his attitude is, it worked for me. It can work for you. Work for anybody. And the Gemara even says, when he came out of the cave and he sees people farming, he can't believe it. They're meinichin chaye olam. They're abandoning the life of eternity, and they're learning, and they're osek in chaye sha'ah, transient, ephemeral. And he looked at them, and they burnt up by the kedusha of his gaze. And Hashem said, "Go back to the cave." And he went for another year, and then he comes out, and he sees a farmer on erev Shabbos holding two bundles of hadassim, and he's going to burn him up too. But then the farmer tells him, "One is for Shamar, in honor of Shabbos, Shamar, and one is for Zachar." Then he realized that even in the physical world, there's the capacity for holiness. But I want to go on with the Gemara for a moment. The Gemara then says, many people followed the path of Rabbi Yishmael to combine Parnassa and Torah learning, and Hashem blessed them. And many people followed the path of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, they tried to, and they didn't do too well. They wound up starving. They wound up not being able to take care of their families. How you apply this to contemporary, I'll leave for, you know, you can discuss this. But the Gemara indicates, therefore, that normative halacha and hashkafa is the view of Rabbi Yishmael. That a person has to be osek and parnasa, or at least have some plan, b'derech hateva, to support a family. You don't take the position that I don't care about economic parnasa, Hashem will put the man in front of my house. You're not allowed to make that cheshbon. But the Vilna Gaon has an interesting diuk. The Vilna Gaon's diuk is the Gemara condemns the path of Rabbi Yishmael, of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, for the harbe, for the many. But there are yechidim in every generation whose level of bitachon is so great. It's not a question of learning. I didn't say learning is so great. It's really, the issue here is not, you can be a brilliant, brilliant person, and you won't be zeicha to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's hanhaga. But there is a certain magnitude of bitachon that is so great that Hashem will help you even without an economic or a significant economic histadlus on your part. Now, how does a person decide if he falls into that category? That's a very, very complicated question. Basically, if you have a question, you're probably not there. It's not a question of the guy that has to live, you know, in a five-bedroom apartment and have a car. You know, that's not the madrega of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is the person who is willing to essentially live even in poverty, but he accepts it. His family accepts it, his Eishes Chayil as well, accepts it with love and with devotion and with simcha. They will be zeicha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give them what they need, because they've redefined what they need on a totally different level. Right? That's a certain madrega. That is not the madrega of the Kailo people who want to live in luxury and expect the money to come through. That is not the madrega of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. But again, this is based on the Chayves HaLevavos that says that the more davuk a person is in bitachon, the more hashkacha pratis he will experience, and lesser need of hishtadlus will come into play. Yeah.
So what does the Vilna Gaon say about hashkacha pratis? What's his
in terms of this this dichotomy? Yes. I believe the Vilna Gaon is very close to the Chayves HaLevavos, actually. The Vilna Gaon is very close to Chavis HaLevavos. So these are many, many different views to to think about. As I say, the Chavis Alvavis Shita is very, very extreme, but again, very mukubal. I think in Eretz Yisrael, by and large, I believe they tend to emphasize the Chavis Alvavis Shita a lot. But there are other Shitas. The Rambam did have a different Shita. The Or HaChaim had a different Shita on this idea of Hashgacha Pratis. Again, the Chavis Alvavis raises a lot of problems. I mean, one of the problems is, why is there an Avera to walk into a dangerous situation? How could a dangerous situation be dangerous? In other words, a person will die here or there, right? The degree of Hishtadlus. The Chavis Alvavis raises many, many problems, but this is his Shita. Also, I want to mention something else. You know, we have a concept in the Gemara called Ayin Hara, the evil eye. And don't do certain things because people will look at you with jealousy and it may have negative consequences. What is the concept of Ayin Hara? It's not like a magic thing coming out of the eye, so to speak. And we even have Ayin Hara Rebbetzins who do things with lead, or I'm not sure exactly what they do, but they do different things. Now, is there such a concept as Ayin Hara? Is it a realistic? I mean, there are halachas that are based on Ayin Hara. For example, it says that if we're partners in a field, or I have half a field, you have half a field, I can demand we put up a wall so you shouldn't be able to freely gaze at my field while it's growing, because it might be Ayin Hara, right? This halacha in Shulchan Aruch based on Ayin Hara. So Rav Dessler actually explains. Rav Dessler explains that when Hashem, you know, created Adam, Adam is made B'Tselem Elokim, and just as with God, there is a concept, as soon as God thinks of something, it comes into being, right? Because God doesn't have to make anything. The Machshav is the Maisa. So there's a certain aspect of that godly power that was given to human beings, that negative thoughts can create negative realities. Now that's a beautiful, powerful thought, just as powerful, positive thoughts create positive realities. But once again, that seems to be directly contrary to the Chavis Halavavas. According to the Chavis Halavavas, that's almost an autonomous power given to human beings to harm. The Chavis Halavavas would reject it. Rev Dessler says that's part of the Tzelem Elokim in man, that our thoughts, and of course that's true for ourselves as individuals too, our thoughts create realities. Don't just reflect realities. You know, not directly relevant, but it reminds me of this a little bit. They showed, in one of the museums, they showed water molecules under an electron microscope. Did you ever see this? And you see the molecules, and like when people are angry, the water itself changes into ugly shapes, the crystals. And when there's calmness and friendship and love, there's a very beautiful shape. As if to say, the very molecules and atoms of nature bend and change in response to the negative and positive energy that's there.
Scientific observation?
Yes, yes, yes. Under an electron microscope. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The atom.
Water not in your body. Water in a bowl.
I'm sorry. A cup of water in a bowl. Yeah, 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 yeah. 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 Right, right. 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 Yeah.
So this is what Rav Dessler was saying. Mm-hmm. Bad thoughts lead to bad actions.
Right, but he was saying a little bit more than that. I think he wasn't simply saying the thought will lead to my doing a bad thing. Rather, the thought itself creates spiritual harm to another person. Right. Spirit. No, but even if it doesn't culminate in the even if I have these thoughts and I will not act upon them, they cause harm. Right. Right, 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 right. So be it as it may, we'll continue talking about this next week. But Ezra Shem, Hashem should hear our tefillahs and show rachamim to all of Am Yisrael in a time of sorrow.